Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
We want to get to God's Word in just a bit. And our theme for this family series has been Draw the Line. And Pastor Julius has introduced this to us. We are simply saying, we all need to draw the line. It's a term that began with military terms where you establish the defense lines, the front line places, and say, hey, if you cross, you will endanger yourself. And we see this over and over again in the Bible. It's important to clear the lines and say, this is a far that we are to go. And so as we go on in life, we discover we all need to have well-established moral boundaries that will establish how we are going to live our lives. So we are saying, for every one of us, concerning our family, each one of us must take personal responsibility. And that's why we say, draw the line. And we are saying, yes, get up and make sure your family is in order. So we began by saying, hey, every one of us needs to choose to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. It's a personal choice. We said we need to embrace God's design for our family. That's a personal choice, but that's what God has recommended. And last week we did say every family needs to have a well-developed and pursue a clear written down family vision. For without a vision, people perish. We don't want to go on in a state of being lost. So today we want to get again to another key element of making sure that our families become what God created them to be. So I'm going to invite you to draw the line in a particular area, which is to defend the family. Defend your family. I know for those of you from the USA, you'd say, yes, somebody said fight, fight, fight. That is not just for him. You need to take a position and fight for your family. Stand up and make sure that your family aligns to the will of God. Don't allow things to drift into a direction that you see is wrong. You want to make sure things are in order. So in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, which has been our theme verse, Joshua is speaking to the nation of Israel. He's fully aware that the people of Israel have a tendency to drift, get away from the main thing and chase after things that don't make sense or don't add to their lives. So he is reminding them of the laws of God and the promises of God. And this is how he concludes. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me, he's drawing a line. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And friends, we are saying you need to draw the line. Because when Joshua says these words, he's more than simply making a simple declaration. He's drawing a battle line. He's saying, this is where we stand. This is what we stand for. And this is what we highly esteem. And we are going to stand and fight for it as a family. And so you need to say, hey, this is what I stand for. This is what I will lay down my life for, fighting for, to see that it's coming to pass. Somebody said that if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. You don't want to be among those who simply were counted among the numbers of people who lived and passed, nothing to be remembered for, because you simply lived. He is declaring. And so Joshua spoke these words, having been the commander in the army. These words were words of battle. He had gained the understanding that for every promise of God to be fulfilled in our lives, there has to be active active engagement, engaging the enemy to dispossess him, but also laying claim of what God has given us. He knew that every promise God had given, the promise of peace, the promise of prosperity, the promise of having a legacy, because God's word says that when we live right before God, his blessing will be on our family up to generation 1,000. Now, some of us live on, Lord, God bless me, give me cucumber, give me watermelon, but upgrade to sausages and pizza. And so we feel when you eat pizza and sausages, man, you're living the life. Now, God wants you to have more than pizza. God wants you to have fullness of life. And so we must learn to defend our families by engaging. This must be the conviction of our lives, that our families can be better. Our families can thrive. Our children can win in life. That ought to be the ambition of our lives. Jesus spoke to the disciples and told them, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. We must engage. Not simply looking on and saying, oh, I admire those people. No, we must. I will not belabor the point of, yes, the fact that we live in this world, it is under attack, but we live in turbulent times. We are surrounded by a culture that opposes biblical values. We are targets of spiritual forces, and we are constantly battling forces that want to pull us down, and they're taking advantage of our sinful nature. I want to remind you, my brother, my sister, that your real enemy is Satan himself. It's not your circumstances of poverty or unemployment or your lack of education. Please don't blame other people, your mother-in-law, your stepmother, your uncle, because sometimes you've spent 30 years with your stepfather and you're still blaming them for your failure in school. No, you've had 30 wholesome years, and to get a degree you only need 3 years, but for you, for 30 years, you're still blaming the people of the past. We blame our spouses. He's not bringing enough money. He's not as romantic as I want him. Coach him. So the solution is not in blaming others. The solution is drawing the line, contending with in spiritual battle to make sure that we overcome the enemy. I want to remind you, and we've had this, the devil instigates a culture that pulls families away from God's design. He says, convenient not to go to church, stay here, have my church, yeah, with a cup of coffee and drink something that the believers around me will not judge. We have traditional influences. Here in Uganda, we are trying to debate, should we have power to have 4 wives? At the same time, as long as your wife consents, or if she doesn't consent, how do you change your situation? We have a contemporary culture. We have distorted worldviews. Friends, we need to have the mind of God ruling and reigning in our hearts if we are to see the families that we need to. I know some of you that work, and you definitely need to work, but you're considered antisocial. Because you don't go out to the parties like the rest of them. Because your wife keeps visiting you in your workplace. And by the way, some of you husbands, you don't like your wives to visit. Because those people you're flirting with in the workplace will know they have an enemy. And so you want to secure your workplace from your wife. No, you are not securing it. You are creating problems just for yourselves. I know they will tell you, yes, we are providing health for you in your workplace. Go to a gym, go for a massage, and determine what level of massage you are going to have. And you happily go there, and your family is falling apart. We want to get back to the place where we are aware. that we live in a world that does not want us to have the kind of families that are blessed by God. And so we must rise up and be alert. Yes, some of us have direct spiritual attacks. And when I say some of us, I mean all of us. Just as some of you are aware, some of you are not aware. But the enemy is waging war against your sons and daughters and against you. And this is how he does it, by enticing your family to indulge in practices that give him a legal right in your family. Indulging in witchcraft, reading the horoscopes and many other things, invoking curses on yourselves or on others. The enemy is working and enticing us to distort God's truth. We live in a time and a season where Christian families, the husband has a man of God, and the wife has a woman of God, and the children have their prophet, and they say we are Christians. One attends first service, another second service, and the children no service. We can't live like that and think we're going to prosper. Some of us are serious manipulators. And I believe manipulation is a form of witchcraft. Because you haven't done so and so, I will withhold such and such. But we ought to be aware. And of course, there are open demonic gateways. Some of us have opened. We've been bitter since lockdown. The gates were open after lockdown, but for you are still locking down. You are angry. You are bitter. How could he talk to me like that? How could he do that to me? What about my money? And is your husband you lent the money to pay school fees for your children, and you are harassing him for not paying you back? We've walked in a state of flirting. And it's just flirting. The only person you compliment is not your wife, but your workmates. Even the women in the marketplace know. They compliment you, and you also return the compliment. But you're angry with the list that your wife gave you to shop. You'll pick that later. Let's go on. We've opened the gateway of the enemy to attack us because we've chosen pride. You're the man, and for sure the man. And you're using a traditional approach. You say there's only one bull in a corral. And for sure you're behaving like a bull. On heat 24/7. No control. Friends, we ought to open our eyes. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And he takes advantage of the flesh. We all have desires in our hearts for sexual fulfillment. It's a God's gift to our lives. We want to be loved, want to be accepted. But the enemy uses that, and some of us have given ourselves over to fornication, to adultery, to pornography. And you're sending nudes or nudes, whatever. I don't know what the proper English word is. N-U-D-E-S, where you're naked, and you're sending it to someone and say, do you like what you see? And when they say no, because it is ugly. There's nothing beautiful, ugly. I mean, there's nothing naked which is beautiful. That one, you know. But the issue is you're opening gateways. You've not dealt with the thing in your heart. And it says, just a WhatsApp. No, it's more than a WhatsApp. It's an open door to the enemy. Yeah, as long as you're going to get married, we can sleep together to see how we'll perform. You're sowing seeds of mistrust. No wonder right now your husband is a prime suspect. Your wife is prime suspect. Every other time, Friends, if we're going to defend our families, we must be aware of the enemy. We must be aware of the working of the enemy. Let's not be ignorant of the devil's schemes. And let's also be self-aware. We must be aware of our capacity to fall. Joshua told the people, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He was fully aware of his capacity to drift. Get comfortable where he is and not keep pursuing what God wants him to pursue. He had to draw the line. And that's why we are inviting every one of us to draw the line and defend the family. Because God's intention is not just for you to live and die, but his intention that his blessing will continue the next generation. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to be battle ready and actively defend and protect our families? Number one, we need to do this by guarding the family in God's truth. We must be a people of truth. I think the current word is we must be a people of integrity. God spoke to Abraham and said, "If you be blameless before me, if you walk uprightly before me, then I will bless you." We ought to walk uprightly. We ought to be blameless. When Daniel was investigated by the king, the Bible tells us that his report indicated that he was not wrong in any area, apart from the fact that he faithfully prayed to God all the time. If there was to be a commission of inquiry instituted on your family, will you have a good report? Oh, you are not living a blameless life. So when you talk about guarding our family, living in the truth, we are not just talking about having good advice or traditions. We want to live in the Word of God. The Word of God becomes part and parcel of who we are. We more than reading the Word of God, we have allowed the Word of God to read us, and we've gotten transformed into our lives. The Bible tells us that when we live by this word, we will be shielded. Psalm 91 verse 4 says, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." God's truth covers us. It's our iron dome. It prevents every other thing from hitting us. So we need to go into, it says, his word is a buckler, which is a small shield used in close combat. The Bible, advises us, because I live among people who say, "I advise you." No, the Bible commands us in Ephesians 6 verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." And having done all, in verse 14 says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place." You must stand on the truth. And there are personal battles you need to fight, knowing I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, whether I'm married or single. God's word remains true. It's not what somebody else says about me that is the truth. It's God's word that counts for me. The world may be say, "Joshua, you need to be 7 feet tall like Goliath, be a man." No, the word says that when God created me, perfect height. Anybody taller than me is too tall, shorter than me, I don't know what to say about you. So I'm not to leave somebody, but the truth must work in my life. I must walk in the truth. Because without the truth, everything falls apart. Jesus, speaking to the disciples, says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So you need to make a choice, my brother, my sister. I know there are times when the truth is painful, because the truth brings to the light. The truth exposes. And there are aspects of our lives where we don't want them to be exposed because we are ashamed of them. But the truth brings healing. And we must choose that. I know we live in a tradition that says, when do you tell the truth? Depending. And so we don't tell the truth 24/7, but we calculate, when do I tell the truth? When do I tell my wife that, you know, my heart has moved from you to the other 20-year-old? When do I tell my husband that I got extra money and assuming that I was buying another plot of land, I bought air? Now, I know some of you don't understand what air is. Ask the Ugandans next to you to say, what does it mean to buy air? But it means to buy something that does not exist. I know you promised your husband that, you know, I'm a virgin, but you had two children before. And I was going to say, thank God for Watoto, maybe. You've hidden all history there. I keep telling men, no, we don't want to look after your children. Stand up, take care, confess your faults to one another. All right, silence, so it means I go on. So friends, this day when you return home after a beautiful meal, if what you're going to bring to the light is so hot, please go home with some ice cream. And tell your family members, friends, I'm here to let you know that I want to walk in the truth, in the light. Firstborn, you are not firstborn. You are number three. I'll leave that at that. While you're sipping your ice cream, take out your smartphone, punch in your opening code, put your fingerprint on so that the other apps are opened, and say, my wife, you don't need to ask Google to give you an account of where I've been. This is where I've been. And I think there's a provision for erased messages to be brought back. Your wife has been insisting, I'm not so sure about you. So instead of just using condoms, let's go and do an HIV test. Lead the way, sir. I know you are the man and you can be trusted. Because you are trustworthy, lead the way with her. Go to the clinic she chooses, not the one you've chosen. I'll stop there. Let's go on. But we are defending our families. At your workplace, let it be known who you are. Secondly, we contend for our families by being persistent in prayer. Prayer is not just a word of comfort or a prayer you pray when you're going to have tea or going to sleep. It ought to be a counteroffensive act to keep the enemy at bay, to drive him out of where he has taken advantage of your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. He's saying we must engage, activate the power in God's word to make sure that we have victory. Victory over our addictions. Stop saying there ain't enough rehabilitation centers. The Word of God has the capacity to bring you rehabilitation, has capacity to give you victory over alcoholism, has capacity to give you victory over watching dirty things. It has the capacity. But because you love it on the other side, you're saying, Pastor, you've not prayed enough. No, draw the line. Pray for yourself. Make the right decisions that will give you victory. Friends, as I thought about this praying, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. On all occasions, pray with all kinds of prayers. So, you wake up and learn to pray. Don't just say, well, I finished, I got a certificate from the Equip Stream, so I am done. No, you pray. You pray on all occasions for all situations. As I thought about this, I remembered Isaac, a child of promise to Abraham. God gave him a wonderful wife, Rebecca, blessed by her parents as she left. But for 20 years, Isaac and Rebecca had no child. Isaac had the capacity to say, you know what? I got a raw deal here. He could have said, I crushed. But this is what I say, people. If you ever feel you got a raw deal, cook it. If you ever feel you crushed, in Uganda, we know how to take crushed vehicles and we turn them into vintage. So turn your situation around. Don't simply say, these are my circumstances. Isaac, the Bible tells us, he prayed for his wife. It doesn't tell us for how long, but he prayed for his wife. And praise God, she conceived. Because children are a gift from the Lord. No woman, turn to any woman or any man next to you, no woman makes children. All you do is to enjoy the process and God blesses you with a gift. But I know some of you are very scientific. You know how to make boys and how to make girls. Zero. Every child is a gift from the Lord. So don't put anybody under pressure. When Isaac was under pressure, he prayed. And that's where his victory was. And what a beautiful wife he had. Because she did a serious scan of the children she had. She did a scan and discovered she was giving birth to two nations. More than that, their destiny, the younger will rule over the older. Wow. I was going to say, when's the last time you did a scan? Some of you have not, some have. Naturally, we do scans to establish, is it going to be a boy or a girl? So that we can buy pink basins if it's a girl, or blue basins. Now, in Uganda, sometimes doctors can promise you a girl, you buy pink, and on the day of delivery, you walk out with a baby boy who looks exactly like your husband. But she saw destiny because she was a woman who knew God and understood God. So as a family, learn to pray. Has your family been bewitched? Deal with the witchcraft. Is your family failing to break through in education? Pray with that. Is your family tormented about teenage pregnancies? Pray about that. You're not making breakthrough. Pray about that. Don't wait for others. Make it your point. Bring your children into the process. See it as a family, your immediate family and other family, and say, this is what we are going to deal with. And so I would encourage you, get together and pray. Deal with the addictions. Deal with the sicknesses. Deal with the situations that are contrary to the word of God that you see in your life. Because what we're saying, we're drawing a line. The word of God must prevail in our lives. And finally, I want you to reinforce this family defense through accountability. Live your life in accountability. Be accountable to someone. Let somebody, in fact, we advise that in your life you need at least 4 people. If we brought them together, we'll know everything about you. Not only one, because they could take advantage of you. All right? But we're saying at least 4. When you bring them together, we literally know everything about you. Where you were born, how you grew up, everything. How much money you are making, how much you've stolen, what things you're doing, what deals, everything. We don't need any investigation. Those are sufficient. Why? Because you've opened up your heart to them. Some of us have best men. They were only decorations at our wedding day. Your best man was supposed to know literally everything about you concerning your relationship in marriage. Have you cheated on her? Have you cheated with her? What do I mean? You are sleeping together before you are married because you promised you're going to marry. That is cheating. And the reason you're not progressing is that when you did that in the promise that I will marry you, you are creating a suspect. You are declaring yourself dishonorable. That you cannot be trusted. You are out of control. That you are not a person that needs to be entrusted with God's goodness. And the silence I'm hearing here, I'm saying, yeah, but Pastor, we are being smart. We are making sure we are being economic. No. And so, to be accountable means you'll go before your spouse and say, I'm sorry, I misled you, I hurt you, I destroyed your dream. I know I've talked to some men, they've done crazy things, and they're not ready and willing to confess to their wives, I am protecting her. No, you've already exposed her. You're not protecting her. You are protecting your ego. But if we're going to see a family that will progress, eat humble pie and be like David, if you judge me, you are right. I'm not worthy, but I need mercy. That's the way to go. And of course, ladies, it's going to be hard. You may feel like you need to cane him. You may need to feel like to stab him. Yes, great feelings, and we acknowledge that. But I was going to say, get a wall, stab the wall, then come and talk. And say, how do we move forward on this? Don't just say, me now, I'm moving on. Let's go together. It's going to be painful. It's going to be difficult. But we need to walk together. Friends, if our families are going to be the kind that will rule and reign as God promised, we must learn to defend them by getting back to live in the truth, engaging in prayer, and walking in accountability. Nehemiah, speaking to the nation of Israel, in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14 says, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, and let me say, noble gentlemen and ladies in the house, this is to you. It says, I spoke to the officials, and I know I have officials in the house, and the rest of the people. Uganda loves protocol. So all protocol observed. as I speak to every one of us. This is what he says, don't be afraid of the situations you're in. Remember the Lord your God. He's great and mighty and awesome. And based on who he is, defend your families. Defend your sons. Defend your daughters. Defend your wives. Defend your homes. That's a call to every one of us. You may be the first one in that family that thinks differently. Yes, stand on God's word. I'm reminded in Exodus chapter 12 when God was bringing out the nation of Israel from Egypt. He gave a command to the people of Israel and said, every one of you, make sure you're in your household. And let every household take a lamb and slaughter it. And take that blood and put it on the doorpost of your house. So that when the seat of judgment comes, he will not destroy you. You will be saved. Every family, whether your father was in a wheelchair and couldn't get to the door, at least the son or the daughter or somebody, cut the chosen lamb, place that blood, and Israel was saved from the trouble. That's why I want to invite you, my brother, my sister. You're in this place hearing this voice. Will you stand and defend your family by taking that lamb of God? Who is Jesus? And allow his blood to atone for your life and to atone for your family.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,